The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, that Monday Night Football game, that was everything that we expected it to be. It literally came down to the last drive of the game for the Chiefs. And unfortunately for them, the Chiefs do what the Chiefs do. Now, first of all, it was a very hard-fought battle between two really good teams. Let's start there. But unfortunately for Kansas City, they made the few mistakes. Philly kept it together the entire game. And the Eagles were able to get the win in Kansas City, 21-17. Basically, Kansas City fell apart in the second half, especially the fourth quarter. But they didn't score any points in the second half. And it was just kind of the epitome of what's really happened to the Chiefs this year. Patrick Mahomes threw a terrible interception in the red zone. Travis Kelce had a fumble in the red zone. And then, of course, they had a lot of dropped passes. But the most notable drop pass was on the last drive for the Chiefs. Man, Mahomes just threw a bomb out, and Marquez Valdez-Scandling, he should have easily made this catch. He did not make the catch, and unfortunately for the Chiefs, that just means they would ultimately end up going home. They would be staying home with the loss. And the Eagles do what the Eagles do. They just keep on winning in many different ways. Their defense is just stellar. I mean, they had Patrick Mahomes running for his life all night long, and they really didn't let any Kansas City Chief member really have any type of breakout game where he just really went for it. No, the Eagles just did what the Eagles do, and that's continue to win. So it was a great Monday Night Football matchup, and Philadelphia won this round. So let's move on to the top 10 NFL power rankings for week 11. Not a whole lot of shakeups. We had a few, but I guess there is one new team that we're going to talk about this week. And as always, it's kind of near the bottom just because the bottom is the more difficult part to judge. But let's get it started with the same number one it's been all season for the most part. And that would be the Philadelphia Eagles, overall record of 9-1. And it's just because they do it all. They win in so many different ways. They win the close games. They get the turnovers. They get at the quarterback. Honestly, the only negative thing you could say about them is that Jalen Hurts has had more turnovers this year than he did last year, but it's still not affecting them in the loss column. They still keep on winning. And they're great on the ground. They're great through the air. They're great on the line. I mean, they're just an overall really damn good team. And at this point, it's pretty difficult to choose anybody else at number one, especially with the win over the Chiefs. They went into Kansas City, got the big win. And that's not the only place that they keep on winning. They just keep plugging away at all these big wins. And so we'll see if they will be able to maintain it throughout the entire season. But so far, the Eagles are obviously head and shoulders above everybody else right now. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, that would be the Detroit Lions. Overall record of 8-2, and this team, they just keep overcoming adversity. It's insane that they were down this past week to the Bears, and then they just all of a sudden made this magic turnaround. You know, Goff had the three interceptions to start, but then he got it back together and just was able to put it together for two more drives at the end there. And the Lions, they're another team that keeps winning in different ways. They win on the road. They win against good teams. They win against bad teams. And they're never out of a game, even when they're down by, I can't remember how much they were down by in the game against the Bears, but it was a double-digit deficit, and they were able to come back and make it work. So the Lions, to me, they keep proving it each and every week. Now, to me, it's going to be if they're able to do it in the playoffs, because I kind of have a feeling that the Lions are going to do that thing where they dominate the regular season, and then come playoff time, it's boom. Their first playoff game is a loss, so I wouldn't be surprised by that. But for now, the Lions look like one of the best teams in the league. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 8-3. Yes, they suffered a loss this week, but I mean, just overall, this is a really damn good team. They lead the league in sacks with 44 sacks on the season, so they're getting at the quarterback. They have safety, Geno Stone. He is tied for the league lead with 6 interceptions right now, so they're getting the turnovers. They're getting at the quarterback. And then Lamar Jackson is having a pretty, I guess as close to as flawless you can have of a season for a quarterback. He's doing it all, and he's doing it without a lot of weapons as well. I mean, his receiving core is not that good, and now they took a huge hit with Mark Andrews' injury in the last game. So he's going to have to shoulder even more of the burden, but so far the Ravens look like a damn good team to me. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, falling a couple spots this week, the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 7-3. I mean, they're still a really good team. They're still the defending champs. And, I mean, Mahomes just, it doesn't matter what you do to him. He just really is, he's just on a whole other level than everybody else out on the field. And even when it feels like you're going to sack him, he gets right out and just runs for it or just makes this crazy, insane pass. Now, unfortunately for him, this year, the receivers aren't really making the catches. And that's really been a huge issue. Also of note for issues for the Chiefs this year, they are having huge issues in the fourth quarter where they're not scoring points at all. And then they're also having issues in the red zone. And these are very uncharacteristic for the Chiefs, but they're still 7-3. They still look pretty damn good. And defensively, they're one of the best in the league. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 7-3, and they seem to be right back on track after that 3-game losing streak. Now they have just blown out the last two teams they've played. Brock Purdy has been fantastic in the last two games. As a matter of fact, this last game, he had a perfect passer rating and 3 touchdowns as well. So he seems to be back on track. The only issue for the Niners now is they lost their amazing safety, Hufanga, to an injury. He unfortunately tore his ACL, so he is done for the season. And I feel like that could be something that hinders them as the season goes on, because Hufanga is all over the field. His mentor is Troy Polamalu, and you could tell. I knew this dude had Troy Polamalu-esque tendencies before I even found out he was training with him, because you could just the way he plays, it's not even just the hair that he's got flowing out of his helmet. It's just the way he plays. He plays exactly like Polamalu used to. And, you know, he leads the team in interceptions. He's an extreme ball hawk, but he could get at the quarterback. He's a great player. So I feel like that's going to be something that could end up hindering them as the season goes on. But, hey, who knows? The Niners are still a damn good team. And until they start losing again, can't pick against them. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 7-3. They seem to be getting stronger each and every week. Dak has been amazing since that San Francisco 49ers game. I mean, overall, he's had a fantastic season. I mean, he's really kept the interceptions to a minimum, and he's making some amazing decisions out there on the field, which he wasn't normally doing. And it's just funny to me that Mike McCarthy's not getting a whole lot of credit, when before the season began, everybody was mocking that Mike McCarthy was taking over the play calling duties. And so far, it's been Dak has literally played his best season so far with Mike McCarthy calling play. So I feel like that's a huge factor in it. The only problem with the Cowboys, of course, is they kill the shitty teams. But then when it comes to the good teams like the Eagles and the Niners, they fall short. But I will say that last game against the Eagles, you know, Dak still had a good game. And they fell short by inches, literal inches. So I feel like they're getting better. And they do have a tough stretch coming up to end of the season. They play the Commanders this week. So that's obviously a chump team. Even though they're a division matchup, I still feel like the Cowboys should blow them out of the water. But after that, they've got Seattle, they've got the Bills, they've got the Dolphins, they've got Detroit. So they've got a really heavy stretch coming up. So hopefully they're getting stronger and they're going to at least beat a couple of these teams they have coming up. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Jacksonville Jaguars. Overall record of 7-3. Right now, defensively, they actually lead the league in turnovers, which is just, I expected them to take leaps and bounds offensively. I didn't know what to expect from them defensively, but turns out they're one of the best defenses in the league. It's really Their defense has really helped them get a few of the wins along the way. Of course, Trevor Lawrence, he seems to be progressing each and every game as well. Then you've got Etienne in the backfield, who's just been a huge driving force for them. So I really like what I see from the Jaguars, even though they got blown out by the Niners a couple weeks ago. I still think they're a legit team. And they do have a difficult road to hoe now that the Texans are actually playing pretty well. But I do feel like the Jaguars are still a much better team than the Texans. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Miami Dolphins, overall record of 7-3. Just with the Dolphins, they're pretty similar to the Cowboys. They can blow out the shitty teams, but they can't beat the really good teams. And for me, I feel like it's just all about them offensively. If they go up against a really good defense, I feel like they're going to have issues. So that's why they're ranked so low, but they're still a really, really solid team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Houston Texans, overall record of 6-4, and it's just the CJ Stroud show. This guy he's doing it, and he's doing it well. Like LL Cool J always said, doing it well. That is what CJ Stroud is doing. This guy is just blowing up every defense. And what was great about last week is he had, I believe it was 3 interceptions he had thrown in last week's game. He still was able to overcome that, and he was still able to drive his team down the field. And it's just great to see this rookie quarterback really take on this role, because the Houston Texans, even though I expected Stroud to be a pretty good quarterback, I didn't expect him to start out this great. And he doesn't have a lot of weapons. So I feel like that's going to be what kind of holds them back from ultimately winning this division. I know a lot of people are on the hype train right now, but I mean, like I said, if you compare them to the Jags, who are in their division, I just feel like the Jags are a much better team. They have a they know their identity, whereas the Texans still finding their way, and they don't have a whole lot of talent beyond CJ Stroud, who on the season right now has 2,962 yards passing. So the dude's almost at 3,000 yards passing, and we still have a month and a half left of the season. He's got 17 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions, so he's really, really keeping the turnovers at a minimum and just playing fantastic football for the Houston Texans. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Cleveland Browns. Did not expect to be talking about them much this season. I still don't really believe in them that much, but when comparing to the other teams, I feel like they are doing better, especially as of right now. They're 7-3 on the season, and it's just been the Myles Garrett show for the Browns. This guy has been having an MVP season. Now, chances are he's probably not going to win the MVP because he's a defensive end. They usually tend to choose quarterbacks for the most part, but if anybody who's not a quarterback has at least a couple of votes, it should be Myles Garrett. He's got 13 sacks on the season and 4 forced fumbles. He's made an insane amount of game-changing plays from start to finish. It's insane what this guy does. I mean, his arm, one arm, is like both of my legs combined. He is just such a fucking beast, and it shows. I mean, earlier in the season, he literally jumped over the offensive line to block a field goal. So that... he's just a beast. That is the only word to describe Myles Garrett. And offensively, the Browns are terrible. And that's why I don't really believe in them much, because I feel like at some point that's going to cost them some games in the end. But right now, they're looking pretty good, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, overall, the defense has 33 total sacks, so they are getting at the quarterback. Now moving on to, since it is Thanksgiving tomorrow, we will have 3 games on tap, and then we even have us a Black Friday game this year, and then of course we just have the usual Sunday antics and Monday antics. So week 12 is just nothing but football beginning tomorrow. So let's discuss the Thanksgiving Day games, and we'll talk about the Black Friday game on Friday's show. So let's get it kicked off with the Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. Right now the Lions are a 7.5-point favorite. The Packers are coming off of a pretty big win last week over the Chargers, but I feel like that was just kind of one of those fluky things where they were playing the Chargers, and that's what the Chargers do, is they just falter in the end. They're going up against the Detroit Lions this time around, and even though the Lions have had their down moments, I don't think they're going to have any down moments in this game. As a matter of fact, the Lions, in every primetime game they've played this season, they've really showed out. So I feel like they're just a much better team on every level. And the Packers are terrible, so I have the Detroit Lions winning this one 31-17. Then we have the Washington Commanders at the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are an 11.5-point favorite, And Washington is just terrible. They got blown up by the New York Giants last week, which just says a lot. And I mean, they got blown up. It was not even it was not even a close matchup. It was just a straight up Giants domination, which says a lot because they're on their third string quarterback. They were coming off of a huge loss, and they were able to kick the crap out of Washington. So I'm not really expecting Washington to do much tomorrow against the Cowboys. As a matter of fact, I feel like the Cowboys are going to dominate this one from start to finish. And I've got them winning big 37-13. And then we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Niners are a 7.5-point favorite. I feel like that's a lot for them to be favored by, just because historically, no matter what, no matter where these teams are in the season, whether they're terrible or really good, this has been a fantastic matchup to watch for, God, since the Kaepernick years, for sure. I mean, they used to go at it in the playoffs. They used to go at it in the regular season. And so it feels like every time you watch the Niners versus the Seahawks, it turns out to be one of those games that comes off, down to a walk-off field goal. And that's kind of what I'm expecting in this one. I feel like the Niners, though, they are back on track. The Seahawks are too up and down for me. And so I do think it's going to be a close game, but I feel like the Niners are going to do just enough to get the win. And also, as well, Kenny Walker III is going to be missing for the Seahawks, and he's a huge reason as to why they play so well offensively. He's just a workhorse, and he gets them yardage that they just absolutely need. He sets them up in really good field position regularly throughout the game, so I feel like that's going to be the deciding factor in this one, and I've got the Niners winning a close one, 23-21. So that's what we have on tap for Thanksgiving. And like I said, we actually have us a Black Friday game this year, but we'll talk about that on Friday's show. And now let's get to the college football playoff top 10. Not a lot of shakeup. It looks like it's pretty much the same for the most part. We've got Georgia at number 1 at 11-0. They play Georgia Tech this weekend. Then at number 2, we have Ohio State. They're 11-0. And they actually have their big game this weekend. They will be at number 3, Michigan. And so, as I just said, number 3 is Michigan at 11-0. And so they have their big matchup. One of these two teams is going to be adding a loss to the loss column at some point over the weekend. But like I said, Michigan, Ohio State, that is the big game on Saturday. And a lot is on the line, because obviously I kind of feel like if one of them loses, but Washington and Florida State still are undefeated, it's kind of difficult to, depending on how they win and or how they lose, it's going to shake up the college football playoff rankings. That's for damn sure. Depending on what happens, because you never know. It's college football, and anything can happen on any given Saturday in this instance. Then at number 4, we do have Washington, 11-0. They will be playing Washington State this weekend. Then at number 5, we have Florida State, and they will be at Florida this weekend. And don't know if you saw it, but the Florida State quarterback over the weekend had one of the most insane injuries I've ever seen. Now, we've seen it a couple of times, most notably when it happened to Dak Prescott a couple years ago. But basically, the Florida State quarterback was running. He kind of got his foot stuck a little bit. The defender landed on it, and when the defender got off, basically the dude's leg was pointed in the opposite direction. It was completely pointed to the left. So not only is he done for the season, but unfortunately, since it's college football, that's a career-ending type of injury. So Florida State is without their quarterback. Now, who knows if that's going to be some deciding factor in how they play throughout the rest of the season. I mean, there's not much season left to go, but it was a gruesome injury, and I watched it over and over because I am that person. Whenever this new thing that they've started over the last, 3 to 5 years, where they no longer replay really gruesome injuries, well, what sucks for them is that we could literally just go to Twitter or just Google so-and-so's injury, and you will see it within seconds, and that's basically what I did. I mean, I wasn't watching this Florida State game, but I heard the update, and I was like, well, I got to go look this up. Looked it up, and I was like, damn. So I am that person who goes and looks at it over and over again and replays it over and over again, and I'm just like, damn. But it was crazy to see his leg pointed in the complete opposite direction. It was one of those. Then at number six, we have Oregon, 10-1. They play number 16, Oregon State, this weekend. Then at number seven, Texas Longhorns, Hook 'em Horns, motherfucker. They are 10-1. They play Texas Tech on Friday. Then at number eight, we have Alabama. They are 10-1, and they are at Auburn this weekend. Then at number nine, we have Missouri, who are 9-2. They play at Arkansas this weekend. And rounding out the college football playoff top 10, we have Louisville. They play Kentucky this weekend. So enjoy the jam-packed day of sports that we have tomorrow. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And if you are one of those people who does not celebrate Thanksgiving, but you feel the need to lecture everybody on it, go fuck yourself. Nobody cares. Just let people enjoy the fucking day. We don't care if people were slaughtered or whatever the fuck. Just let people have the day. All I care about on Thanksgiving is the Dallas Cowboys, but just let people have their day. It's just a stupid holiday. It really actually doesn't matter in the full scheme of things. So spare us all your lectures. Also, you're at a family event or at a gathering. No need to bring up politics. How about you keep that to a minimum? I know that's really difficult to tell people these days, but why don't you keep the divisive topics to yourself and just let people actually enjoy the day for once. So I will be enjoying the day. Hopefully my Cowboys will be kicking ass, because that's all that matters to me on Thanksgiving. Cowboys kick ass. It's a great day for me. So y'all enjoy your Thanksgiving, and I will talk to you on Friday.